Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Trinity Sunday. Well, we know the Trinity's there. Why in the heck do we have to celebrate it in a Sunday? Good question, isn't it? Folks, from the beginning of the church, this always wasn't the case. Around 200 AD, 100 years after Jesus, there was a shipping magnate, he's got a real pull to him, doesn't he? But a shipping magnate. Get the job. Sorry about that. He had this idea, good Christian, okay, believe in Christ, believe in God. But he didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God. He believed that Jesus was born a man, was always a man, and not divine. He believed that Jesus was adopted into the role and was not divine, therefore his death on the cross didn't really mean much. All of the Bible should be thrown out, all the books except for the book of Luke. He thought that one was okay. In his theology, he had this statement to make. There is no God but God, and Jesus was his prophet. Sound familiar? Yeah, $10 for him. You know who it was? Bill. Oh, yeah. Hey, I'll block it. You know, how could that be? How could somebody downplay Jesus? Well, I hate to tell you this, but there was more people that believed that than believed in the Trinity. St. Augustine, who was probably one of the greatest thinkers of the church, that, you know, his theology and philosophy has permeated through the centuries, and much of our churches today are based on, was a member of this discipline. Until, as he started reading and studying and thinking, he says, I can't do this anymore. He said, this isn't what Jesus told us. And went back to mainline Christianity. Now, is that still with us today? Sure it is. International Pentecostal Fellowship believes in adoptionism. It's one of their tenets right there in the front. Why? Because I was teaching GEDs in a Pentecostal church. Pastor and I got to be real good friends. And we were talking one night, and I said, I saw in your book about adoptionism. I said, do you really believe that? He said, I don't. He said, Jesus was the Son of God. And I said, well, then why? He said, it's going back centuries. Guess where it went back to? Coptic Christianity, you know, from Egypt, all these other places believe the same thing. They downplay the role of the Son. You know, I've talked about this in here before, when all those men had their heads cut off on YouTube by the Muslims, okay, they weren't mainline Christians, they were part of this. But whose name was on their voice when they died? Jesus. You know, it's not up to us to judge. Da Vinci Code. Great book, wasn't it? Great movie. How's the theology in it? Let's see, can I make that a little bit more clear? You know, folks, that heresy is still with us today. It is sad, isn't it? Yeah, one of them agrees with you on that. So what does this mean for us? Well, let's not talk about this for a second. Where does salvation come from? The blood of the Lamb shed on the cross, right? So if you take Jesus out of the mix, where is the blood of the Lamb shed on the cross? It's not there. So if that's the case, is there salvation? No. There isn't. And the thing is, without salvation, what do we have? Nothing. Nothing. read you, I want to go back to what was in our bulletin today in the epistle. I thought this was really good. God raised him up. This is after Jesus was crucified. Losing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced, my flesh also will dwell in hope. Pretty good, isn't it? Considering that that's what, 2,000 years old now? When Luke wrote that, you know, I wonder what he felt. One of the things that I find very interesting about all of this, why did we have to have the cross? Well, of course, God so loved the world. But is that always the most important thing right here? No. God the Father made this decision. But one of the things, and I talked about this in Bible study. The reason you got this in the Bible study, I was working on my sermon. Okay. But one of the things, I can see God sitting on a throne. Man has 613 laws where he gave us 10. And he's going, boy. But when you look at this, you know, God has made it simple, man has made it complicated. I'm pointing to Jeff, because Jeff came up with one of the most brilliant comments that bit about why does man make laws? Because it's easier to follow laws, you don't have to think. You know, that's one of the things Baptists do I really love. Look what Jesus do, because there's our guy. There's the important thing. So, God is always consistent, but can God change his mind? Yes. The thing we don't know, did God have this all planned out to bring the Messiah? I can't answer that. But I do know that God decided to stop the first covenant to make a new covenant. So what's the first covenant? Well, having burnt offerings. Following 613 laws. Not working on a Sunday and chewing Jesus out because he had the audacity to save a man's life on Sunday. So when we look at all of this, God said enough. All right, my law, here it is. My law is burnt offering. To bring that law to completion, who is important enough to do that? God. Because remember, that's why we're doing this today. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are one and the same. Different jobs. In the Bible, the word is ousia. Okay? Ouse. Okay? Different jobs. In English, we use essence. But one person. So, God so loved the world that he sent himself to die for us. Puts a little different connotation on it, doesn't it? But the thing is, God loves us with all his heart. And he wants us to be happy. He wants us to have joy. And he wants us to have eternal love, eternal life with him in heaven. I think that sounds pretty good, don't you? So he sent himself to die for us. So without that happening, there's no salvation. There's no hope. There's no future. Pastor Dan and I were talking. You know, today, I read the epistle lesson, didn't I? Anybody remember what the base word of the epistle is? Epis. I preached on it in here many times. That's all right, you can go back to sleep now. It means hope. The epistles are God's hope for us. Our hope in him. You know, there is so much here that is so important to all of us. But today, we remember that God created us, Jesus redeemed us, and our daily walk is with the Holy Spirit, who is our guide, our comforter, our advocate, and the person who loves us. May this love keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.